We're continuing our studies in the book of Acts this week as we're in chapter 12. Try to give an overview of this chapter and hit some high points perhaps this evening. What we have is we're on the very brink of looking at the missionary journey. Chapter 13 begins that. And before this chapter, we studied a little bit on a previous Wednesday night, one of the just small portions in Acts that we could have considered from verses chapter 11, verse 19 to 30. We looked at primarily the church at Antioch. And if you notice again, verse 26 at the end of that verse says, "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." We also considered in that short little closing part of chapter 11, we looked at the man Barnabas, as he was mentioned a number of times in that little portion, and we saw him as the son of consolation, or son of exhortation, his name meaning, and we saw some aspects of exhortation and some from his life as an example. Now in chapter 12, what we have before us, once again, Satan's attack continued upon the early church. Along with the much spiritual growth and the promising growth of spiritual things in the early church, we see it's not far separated from the persecution and the attacks of Satan. We could draw a line down the middle of a paper if we had one before us taking notes, and you could put on one side persecution, on the other side prayer. We see the battle lines drawn. We see that persecution in this chapter leads to death. We see that prayer, on the other hand, leads to deliverance. Persecution and prayer, death or deliverance. Well, just notice with me, chapter 12, that there are four death or attempts at someone's death. First, we see the death of James. First couple of verses, we see an attempt of putting Peter to death. He gets as far as prison. That takes up a good portion of chapter 12. And then thirdly, we see that the keepers of the prison where Peter was at were put to death. And finally, we see the death of Herod at the end of the chapter. So we see four points of death. Three followed through and one was a failure. We see in verse 1 and 2, we would first ask the question, if you would read with me, now about that time, I guess referring back to previous chapters, "Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword." Perhaps we would first ask ourselves, who is Herod? When we think of Herod, this has been a point of confusion for many in studying the scripture. Sometimes it's referring to different individuals, a brother or a work that was put together called the Oxford Cyclopedia Concordance was a good help. Has a little graph drawn out, and I remember 4 or 5 years ago, maybe it's been that long, Jeff and I was in a monthly Bible study that was in Greensboro, and one of the brethren that was asked to take that particular month drew up on a chalkboard the Herod family. And he went through, and it's amazing. It's just confusing, really, when you start trying to connect all of the divorces and the deaths, and it is a soap opera. When you look at the Herod family, it's like a modern-day sinful soap opera. I believe that was perhaps the illustration he was using. When you try to somehow weed through all the different Herods and the mistresses and the wives and the actions of the Herod. So in a sense, it's not just one man. Herod is a name, in a sense you could maybe call it a title of sorts or a name that would be attached to different people, different leaders. There was, let me just give you four prominent ones, Herod the Great, which was king of Judah. We find him in Matthew 2. Remember, he was troubled at Christ's birth. Enslaved the babes, those mentioned in Matthew 2. The second one noted was Antipas, referred to as Antipas. He reproved John the Baptist, if you remember that. We see the one that beheaded John the Baptist. We see how he scourged the Lord and had his connection with Pilate, became friends, I believe it's the same one. We see also one referred to, the third one, Agrippa. And he was one, as we find here, that persecuted the church in Acts 12. And we see Agrippa the second visits Festus, Acts 25. We see in connection with Paul's defense in Acts 26. So we'll run across another Herod at the end of our study of Acts. So those are four of the notable Herods. But more importantly here, we see that he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Well, if you would, let's just look back at the book of Mark and let's get a little idea of who this one James is. We'll just kind of look at an overview, perhaps, of these different murders or deaths or attempted slayings, if you will, of persecution. Mark chapter 3, and we see in one of the portions where the 12 disciples are mentioned as they are chosen here in Mark 3, look at verse 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. Well, in the middle of that, verse 17, as he's mentioning them, it says, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. Ever heard that phrase, a son of thunder? So the sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. In Matthew 20 is a place where you see, without really looking into that a whole lot, we see where their mother had requested that the sons of Zebedee would be one sitting at the right hand of God in his kingdom, I believe is what you would find if you examine Matthew 20 and around verse 20. That one would sit on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom was her request. So we see here ones that were closely associated with the Lord, ones that had the reputation of being disciples of the Lord. We see the persecution continues and James is killed with the sword, a martyr. Well, we've already noted that Stephen, of course, has been martyred. The first one recorded back in chapter 7. But now we see, moving on, a close call. This one is Peter, and this would be the bulk of the portion we have before us. And maybe it'd be good for us to read a good part of this. Beginning at verse 3 down to 17, we see perhaps the main section, the main part of the story, and Peter's close call. It's almost a parenthesis in the midst of the ones that have or will die in this chapter. We'll see when we read this, the imprisoned Peter, the released Peter, and the appearance of Peter. Let's read beginning at verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quarantines of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. When Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands, and the angel said unto him, Gird thyself, and bind on thy sandal. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. Verse 10, When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Continue in verse 11. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their feet, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? Verse 19, And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judah to Caesarea and there abode. We'll stop at that point. We read an additional couple of verses pointing out what happened to the fate of the keepers of the prison. So we did see yet another death. But we see here, in prayer, here we would see, as we mentioned, begin with the battle lines. We see how the attacks from Satan, continual persecution, and yet we see the prayer of God's people. Note with me just a few things, if you would. Verse 5, we see where it says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing, or that's the word for earnest, earnestly praying. It's interesting here that they obviously did not want to see yet another murder, another martyr of their faithful leaders and their faithful brethren. Notice in verse 12, we see where they're found. They're found at the house of Mary. The house of Mary. Interesting here that you find that this house, her son, being John Mark, the same one we'll see in the following chapter, the one that was taken along on the missionary journey to begin with by Paul and Barnabas. But it wasn't long till after this one in 13, they leave around verse 5, but down in verse 13 of chapter 13, it says, Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. He was with them for just a short amount of difficulty. They had rebuked a magician, you'll see in the early points of chapter 13. But yet, think with me, this one that turned back and left this difficult journey to come, really before the large persecutions came upon them, he was a man that was there at that house that we're looking at in chapter 12. His mother, Mary, opened her house. Perhaps it was all night prayer, praying fervently for this man, Peter, knowing what had happened to James, and here he was, in his own home, praying with the saints, and we see that he saw the surprise in verse 16, the astonishment that the people had when he was delivered, when Peter was delivered. Well, thank you for being with us today. If you'd like to contact us, please call us at 824-5525. This is the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us tomorrow at 1 o'clock.